Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, one, two. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa. The saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again.
Yeah.
And I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth.
And
cats get mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people. Teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're feasting the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's sin. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell.
Down.
If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joe Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Crackle Dollar is a false teacher.
12-12.
Benny Hinn is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Paula White is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher.
12-12.
Robert Tilton is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
Eddie Long is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Juanita Bynum is a false teacher.
12-12.
Paul Krause is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Radio Reformer. And I'm in studio today to do part 6 on this Metatron series that we've been doing slowly, but we've been doing it. And we're doing it because now it seems to be in vogue. It seems to be that some Judaizers are pushing the notion that if we Gentile Christians are going to witness to conservative or Hasidic Jews, that we can bring them to Christ by telling them that he is the Metatron of the Kabbalah, the Zohar, and the Talmuds, the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud. And I'm here to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, that this is pure heresy. Jesus is not Metatron. He's not. If he was Metatron, the Bible would have told us he was Metatron. The Bible would have called him Metatron. So, again, we have these Judaizers. We have these satanic plants whom were planted in the church long ago and have really garnered much fame and much reputation among the saints. And now these plants are revealing who they are, which, in my opinion, they are agents of Satan. And at this critical time in church history, since the Antichrist is so soon to appear, they are telling us that the Jesus of Scripture, our beloved Jesus, is the Metatron of doctrines of demons. And that's just impossible, saints. God, the Holy Spirit, who inspired all 66 of the books of the Bible, would not be working in cahoots with the devil. Remember, the Kabbalah, the Talmud, the Zohar, all that's doctrines of demons, and a combination of doctrines of demons and doctrines of men. Men with vivid imaginations have come up with these crazy teachings, which we're going to be looking at today. So in recap, we've done 5 shows. Let me remind you, or let me just do a quick synopsis, a quick review of what we have already covered. In broadcast number 1, I went all the way back into the Old Testament, and we looked at Isaiah, and you're asking, well, why is Isaiah so important? Well, because Isaiah is the chief messianic prophet of the Old Testament. Isaiah is the chief messianic prophet. If you read Isaiah, he's loaded with messianic scriptures pointing to Jesus, and not one of those scriptures does Isaiah call Jesus Metatron. In the same broadcast, we went to the second prophet with the most messianic prophecies, which is Zechariah, known as Little Isaiah. Zechariah never mentions or makes the connection between Jesus and Metatron. Never does. That was show number 1. In show number 2, we also found, just as Isaiah and Zechariah were devoid of any mention of Metatron in their prophecies, we also found that in the Gospel of Matthew, the gospel written, tailor-made for witnessing to Hasidic conservative Jews, we found out that also in the Gospel of Matthew, there is no mention of Metatron and Jesus being one and the same person. Now, that's significant because, listen, this is a gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, the former tax collector turned disciple of Christ. This gospel is tailor-made for Jewish evangelism, tailor-made. It's loaded with messianic prophecies. And listen, when Matthew writes, when he talks about the messianic prophecies found in Isaiah, when Matthew quotes Isaiah, he connects those prophecies and their fulfillment in Christ. Never does Matthew mention Metatron. So notice, 2 messianic prophets, number 1 and number 2, Isaiah and Zechariah, never make the connection with Metatron and Jesus. And also in the Gospel to the Jews, the Gospel of Matthew, the author Matthew never makes the connection, never connects the dots for us, and shows us that Jesus and Metatron are one and the same. In our third broadcast, we looked at Simon Peter. Simon Peter, one of those 12 disciples. In fact, he's at the head of the list. Every time the disciples are mentioned, the 12 disciples of Christ, Peter is always listed as number one. Not only is he a member of the 12 disciple group, he's also a member of the elite special inner circle made up of three, which is Peter, James, and John. Peter was commissioned to preach the gospel to the Jews. And in Peter's sermons in the book of Acts and in his two epistles, we do not find that Peter ever makes the connection between Jesus and Metatron. That's significant because, again, who would know Jesus better than Peter? He's a member of the inner circle. He saw things that the other nine disciples didn't see. He saw things. Him, John, and James saw things that when Jesus took them up to the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw things that the other nine didn't see. Peter was a special servant of Christ. And yet, with all of this knowledge that Jesus is giving Peter, and remember, Peter made a confession. And Jesus said, Who do you say that I am? And he says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Well have you answered, for flesh and blood has not given you this answer, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter never calls Jesus Metatron, never. And he was the apostle tasked. His task, his commission, his assignment, his destiny was to be the apostle to the Jews. And he never mentions Metatron. Then in broadcast number four, we talked about how the author of the epistles that was tailor-made for the Hebrews. Remember, there's a gospel tailor-made for the Hebrews, which is the Gospel of Matthew, but there's an epistle that's tailor-made for the Hebrews and Hebrew evangelism, Jewish evangelism, and that's the epistle to the Hebrews. We do not find the author of the epistle to the Hebrews making any connection between Jesus and Metatron. In fact, we don't find Jesus' two brothers authors of their own epistle. We don't find James or Jude making the connection and showing us that Jesus and Metatron are one and the same. Then in our last broadcast, broadcast number five, we talked about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, in his sermons contained in the book of Acts, in his letter to the Romans, in his epistles, in all of his writings, in all of his sermons, the great Apostle Paul never makes the connection, never shows us, never connects the dot, doesn't even allude to it faintly, that Jesus and Metatron are one and the same. So let's go over this again. Isaiah and Zechariah don't make the connection. Matthew, the apostle who wrote the gospel to the Jews, doesn't make the connection. Peter, the apostle to the Jews, doesn't make the connection. The author of the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews, James, and Jude, don't make the connection. And, of course, the Apostle Paul does not make the connection. So, as you can see, my brothers and sisters, these great men of God who were Holy Ghost inspired, some way, somehow missed the memo that Jesus and Metatron were one and the same person. But today I want to talk to you about the Apostle John. The Apostle John, the beloved disciple, that member of the 12. He was a member of the 12, also a member of that inner circle of Peter, James, and John, also a pillar at the Jerusalem church, according to Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Peter, James, and John were the pillars of the church in Jerusalem. Here's a guy, listen, here is St. John. This is a noted man of God. Walked with Jesus, a direct disciple of Christ, a member of the inner circle, wrote not only a gospel, but wrote three epistles, and he wrote an apocalypse. This John knew not that Jesus and Metatron were one and the same. And you got to ask yourself, how did all of these great men of God not know this, if it's true? Well, the obvious answer is it isn't true. Jesus and Metatron are not the same. This is Satan's end-time attempt to confuse Christians and to get them to put their faith and their trust in such literature as the Kabbalah, the Zohar, and the Talmuds, from which literature you should stay away unless you're doing research. So, my brothers and sisters, let's look at John. Let's look at what John, and I got to tell you, today's show is going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. Let's go, remember, he wrote a gospel, he wrote three epistles, and he wrote the only apocalypse in the New Testament, the only prophetic book. Now, there's prophecy in the New Testament, but there's one entire book made up of 22 chapters devoted to end-time prophecy, and that's John's book. And it's called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. If you want to get a good glimpse of Jesus, of who he is, well, The Revelation is the book that pulls back that curtain. You want to know who Jesus is in his fullness? Go to the book of Revelation. But before we get there, before we go there, let's turn to John's gospel. And in John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, John calls Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice, in the beginning, Jesus is referred to here as the Logos, or the Word. Jesus is in the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was Metatron. No. Doesn't say that. Now, this would be a good place to tell us. Again, look at this verse. Look at the construction. Look at how John begins the verse. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, at this point, we should be told, and the Word was Metatron. But we're not told that. We're not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now remember, my dear brothers and sisters, when you look at Jewish fables, Metatron is hanging out with God in Jewish fable, in Jewish mythology, in Jewish folklore. Metatron is supposedly the angel of the presence. He's more than anybody else, Metatron is in the presence of God. So let's read this again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You see, that's where the Kabbalists tell us where Metatron is. Metatron is with God, and the Word was God. Well, you see, it doesn't say that the Word was a lesser Yahweh, but that the Word was Yahweh himself, or God himself. Well, people who explain who Metatron is, the people who've written on Metatron, tell us that Jehovah is the great Yahweh and Metatron is the lesser Yahweh. Well, that's not what it says here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. No mention of Metatron. If you go to John 1:29, the Gospel of John, verse 29, John the Baptist, we're told, saw Jesus coming and said to his disciples, "Behold, the Metatron of God who takes away the sins of the world." No. He said, "The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Notice John calls him the Word. John calls him the Lamb. And we're talking about the Apostle John, who wrote down John the Baptist's words here in verse number 29. In verse number 41, Jesus is called the Messiah. It says here in John 1:41, when he first found his own brother Simon, referring to Andrew, he said unto Peter, "We have found Messiah." He doesn't say we found Metatron. He says we have found Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. No mention of Metatron in John 1:1, 1:29, 1:41. In John 1:49, it says, Nathanael now speaking, one of Jesus' future disciples, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." No mention of Metatron. No mention of Metatron. In John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, No man have seen God at any time, except the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He's called, Jesus is referred to as the only begotten Son. So he's referred to as the Word or the Logos. He's referred to as the Lamb. He's referred to as the Messiah. He's referred to as the Son of God or the King of Israel. He's referred to as the only begotten. "For God so loved the world," says John 3:16, "that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." So again, John 1:1, he's called the Word. John 1:29, he's called the Lamb of God. John 1:41, he's called Messiah. In John 1:49, he's called the Son of God and King of Israel. In John 1:18, 3:16, and 3:18, he's called the only begotten of the Father. And in John 4:42, Jesus is called, and let's read, "and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves." These are the Samaritans. They're speaking to the Samaritan woman. They said, "Now we believe, not because of what you told us, but we believe because we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." No mention of Metatron. No mention of Metatron. Now remember, who wrote this gospel? John. Who is John? The beloved disciple, or close disciple of Jesus. Who is this John? He was a member of the 12, a member of the inner circle of three, a member of that elite pillar group of apostles mentioned in Galatians chapter 2. He was a pillar of that church, author of three epistles, author of a gospel, author of the only apocalypse. And yet he doesn't know that Jesus is Metatron, makes no mention of it. In fact, John refers to Jesus as the I Am. Notice, in John 6:35, he refers to Jesus and says, "I am the bread of life." What did Jesus call himself? "I am the bread of life." In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9, Jesus says, "I am the gate." Notice, "I am the bread," 6:35. "I am the light of the world," 8:12. "I am the gate," chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. In chapter 10, 11 and 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd." In John 11:25, speaking to Martha and Mary and the crowd, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 15, he says, I am the true vine. So listen, if he says, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world, and I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd, and I am the resurrection and life, and I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine, why didn't he tell us himself that I am the Metatron? Why didn't he say it? He didn't say it because he isn't. He's not the Metatron. He's not. He's not the Metatron. My dear brothers and sisters, this is so simple. We don't need to go to DEFCON 1. We don't need to go and have a Greek or Hebrew debate and get into the nuances of life. Just look at it on face value. Just listen. Listen, just read what Isaiah said and read what Zechariah said and read what Matthew said and read what Peter said and read what Paul said and read what James says and Jude said and read what the author of Hebrews says and now just read here what John says, and not one of them says that Jesus is Metatron. Not one. Doesn't it shock you? I mean, doesn't it? Listen, you mean to tell me all of them didn't know? And now all of a sudden there's some people in the church claiming special knowledge, and they know now that Jesus is the Metatron, and we just have to accept it with open arms and say, oh, yes, 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 thank you for the special revelation. It's so deep. Thank you for making it so plain. No, it's heresy. It's not true. In his entire gospel, John makes no connection between the Metatron of the Kabbalah, that doctrines of demon book, and his gospel. No connection. None. No connection whatsoever. No mention of Metatron. Again, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Why not just add number 8 and say, I'm the Metatron? Why not? Why not? Just one. Give me one reference. Can you show me one place in Isaiah or Zechariah where Jesus and Metatron are one and the same? Can you just show me one place in Matthew's gospel, the gospel to the Jews, the good news of salvation to the Jews? Can you show me one place in Matthew's gospel where Jesus is Metatron? Oh, listen, don't forget that when you go witness to Hasidic Jews and conservative Jews and, you know, just tell them, just if you want to win them to Christ, just show them how Jesus is Metatron. No, we can't do that. It's not true. Matthew never made the connection. Simon Peter, who was given the gospel of circumcision, go preach to the Jews, go tell them about Jesus. Your assignment is the Jews. Paul is the Gentiles. Go. In none of his sermons, not his Day of Pentecost sermon in which 3,000 souls came to Christ, and none of his other subsequent sermon to the Jews, nor in his first or second epistle, does Peter ever tell us that Jesus is Metatron. He calls Jesus the chief shepherd. He calls Jesus the bishop of our souls, but never Metatron. Never. Nowhere can we find it in the Bible. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in the New Testament. And the most gifted one of them all, St. Paul, never makes the connection. Never shows it. It's not even in the same universe with the Kabbalist. And St. Paul is arguably the most gifted of all the New Testament writers. A true Jew, a real Hebrew, not one of these fake you know, Jews. Not a Jew from the synagogue of Satan. No. Not a Jew with a flimsy family tree. No, saints. No. Not a half Jew, not a quarter Jew. No. We're talking about a Hebrew of Hebrews. He doesn't make the connection. He doesn't. A Pharisee of Pharisees. Studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He doesn't make the connection. Doesn't. So, does John make the connection? Not so far. Listen, he doesn't make the connection. So let's go to John's book called the Revelation. Because I can tell you in his first epistle and in his second and third epistle, John makes comes nowhere near Jesus being Metatron. So let's go to the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation to see if John has an epiphany, comes into some new knowledge about who Jesus is. Let's read. It says in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, the first chapter starting at the fourth verse, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which have pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega. This is a new title Jesus gives himself. Remember, we've considered all the other ones in the Gospel of John. This is a new one. And this would be a great time for Jesus to tell us he's Metatron. This would be the opportune time. I am Alpha and Omega. That's not even close. That's nowhere near Metatron. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Okay. Turn with me again to chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ. There it is again, no Metatron. Was in the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There you go again, no Metatron. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, maybe he'll call himself Metatron here, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto what? Laodicea. Notice again, I am Alpha. Well, you already told us that. You could have told us you weren't Metatron. In verse 8, he calls himself Alpha and Omega. And in verse 11, again, Jesus calls himself Alpha and Omega. Well, Lord, we got it in verse 8. You could have told us you were Metatron in verse 11. That would have made it easy today. But notice, he never calls himself Metatron, at least in the first chapter. Okay. In verse number 17 of chapter 1. Let's continue reading here in verse 12. And I, John, turned to see the voice of him that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Again, no mention of Metatron. Here's another title. One like unto the Son of Man. He was clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass turned in a furnace, and the voice sounded like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he was holding seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was that of the sun that shineth in its strength. Okay. Now, I needed to read this. I needed to read this description of John. John is writing a description of Jesus. And again, he tells us what he's wearing. He tells us what his hair looks like. He tells us what his eyes look like. He tells us what his feet look like. He tells us what his voice sounds like. He tells us what he's got in his right hand. He tells us he's got a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, and that his face, his countenance, was shining like the sun shines in its full strength. This is John's description of Jesus. Okay. So now, there's no Metatron. My dear brothers and sisters, there's no Metatron here. In fact, let's go to John chapter 4. John 5. In John 5, 6, it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." This lamb, again, now John gives us a description of the lamb. "The lamb having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." A lamb having seven horns and seven eyes. No Metatron. In Revelation 12, Jesus appears again in an apocalyptic vision. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, the great red dragon, having seven horns and 10 crowns and 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and with his tail he drew a third part of the heaven and did cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman as she was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child which should rule all the nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne." No mention of Metatron here in verse 12, in this reference of Jesus as a child. In Revelation 19, starting at verse 11, this speaks of the second coming of Christ. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, the white horse, and him that sat upon the horse, which was called Faithful and True." That's another name for Jesus. Notice no Metatron. He's called Faithful and True. "In righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God," the Logos. Again, he's called what? The Word of God, or the Logos. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth came out a sharp two-edged sword, that which he would smite the nations, and he will rule them with the rod of iron, and he treaded the winepress with the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath upon his vestures and upon his thighs a name written, Metatron of Metatrons and Lord of Lords." No, it doesn't say that. King of Kings and Lord, I can't find Metatron. My brothers and sisters, My dear precious brothers and sisters, nowhere in John's gospel, nowhere in John's epistles, nowhere in John's apocalypse do I find a mention or some vague reference to Metatron. Nowhere. Not a vague, not, remember, Metatron is a proper noun. Metatron is a name. No mention. Tell you why, and I'm going now to my Judaica section in my library. I have in front of me the Encyclopedia Judaica, published in 1972 edition. I have volume 11 in front of me, the Encyclopedia Judaica. Okay? This is volume 11. This is the 1972 edition. And on page 1443, on that page, we have an article entitled Metatron. Okay? So, who is Metatron? Now, the Jews are going to tell us who Metatron is because you're not going to find out who Metatron is by consulting Isaiah or Zechariah or Matthew, the author of the Gospel of Matthew. You're not going to find out who Metatron is by talking to Peter or reading his sermons or reading his epistles. You're not going to find out who Metatron is by going to Paul's letters or listening to Paul's sermons. You're not going to find out who Metatron is by going to John. So what source do you go to? Well, since Metatron is a Jewish invention. So this is why I turn to the Encyclopedia Judaica, 1972 edition, volume number 11, on page 1443, the article Metatron. Here it is. Metatron, angel accorded a special position. Listen, it's an angel. Well, we have a problem right there. Because Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here, now remember, I'm going to Jewish sources now. If you want to know, then you got to go to the source. Well, this is the source. Metatron is an angel accorded a special position in esoteric doctrine from the Tanaitic period on. Okay, so what's esoteric doctrine? When you look at something esoteric, it's another word for Gnostic. It's Gnostic. In other words, Metatron is part of Jewish Gnosticism. That's what it is, saints. I'm reading it right from the book. Something that is esoteric is intended for or understood only by a small number of people who have a special knowledge of something. Again, if you look up the definition esoteric, when something is esoteric, it means it is intended for or understood by only a small group or a small number of people who have a specialized knowledge of something. That's called Gnosticism. So if you're engaged in Jewish Gnosticism, if you're reading books that unfold the secret knowledge, the hidden knowledge of Jewish Gnosticism, then you'll find out who Metatron is. See, you have to be engaged. If you're reading the Bible, you're not going to know who Metatron is because he doesn't appear anywhere. You have to go into occult books to find out who Metatron is. You have to study secret knowledge. Now, we have a problem with secret knowledge because God doesn't want to keep anything secret from us. How do we know that? Well, let's go to the book of Revelation again. And in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, in the first chapter and the third verse, look what it says. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. In other words, it's available to everybody. God is making the book of Revelation not secret knowledge for a few, but revealed knowledge for all. You see, the book of Revelation is not an esoteric book. It's not intended for a certain group of masters or a certain group of, you know, elite teachers. No, it's for every believer. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. The book of Revelation is for everybody. But Jewish Gnosticism is not for everybody. It's for certain elite teachers, because you and I just don't have the brain, the capacity, the mental wherewithal to learn these things, because we're little pea brains. So Metatron, again, I'm reading from the Encyclopedia Judaica, right out of the horse's mouth. An angel accorded a special position in esoteric, not biblical doctrine, not Old Testament doctrine, not New Testament doctrine, but accorded a special position in esoteric or Gnostic doctrine from the Tanaitic period on. Okay, it goes on to say, and I'm reading further down in the article, it says, two different traditions, now that's a problem right there, because we don't follow the traditions of men, but it says here, two different traditions have been combined in the figure of Metatron. We don't go by traditions. We go by the word of God. But it says here, two different traditions have been combined in the figure of Metatron. One relates to a heavenly angel who was created with the creation of the world, or even before, and makes him responsible for performing the most exalted task in the heavenly kingdom. So one tradition says Metatron is a special angel created during the creation of the world, or sometime before, because they're not sure. And now he resides in heaven, and all of the special tasks, all of the, you know, the special assignments, Metatron gets them. Okay. Reading a little further down, it says, a different tradition associates Metatron with Enoch, who walked with God, Genesis 5:2, and who ascended to heaven and was changed from a human being into an angel. In addition, he also became the great scribe who recorded men's... So here you have two traditions. Which one is right? Who knows? Who knows? Because, listen, nothing is there. You know, we know who Jesus is. We have no doubts who Jesus is. The Bible tells us from cover to cover who Jesus is. But Metatron, it's your guess or mine. We don't know. And mind you, I'm reading from the source. And they can't tell. There's two traditions. Take your best guess. Who knows? He could be an angel, or he could be Enoch, who was, when he was translated to heaven, he was turned into an angel. Who knows? It's a guess. We don't know. That's one source. And by the way, the Encyclopedia Judaica, every true scholar has a copy of this. You have to have it. It's a necessity. All right. In front of me, I have the Dictionary of Judaism in the Biblical Period. This was written by, or the editor-in-chief, and the associate editor. The editor-in-chief is Jacob Neusner, And the editor, assistant editor, is William Scott Green. In their second volume, it's only a two-volume work, but I would encourage you to get yourself a copy of the Dictionary of Judaism in the Biblical Period. Okay, so now, Metatron. Who is Metatron? In volume two, page 427, Metatron. Archangel, he's an archangel who played an important role in Helotic mysticism. Hekhalot mysticism. What is Hekhalot mysticism? Well, again, it's a Gnosticism. That's what it is. Hekhalot in Hebrew means places or palaces or realms. Or it's what the church calls, we're going to a different level. Have you heard the church when they say we're going to another level, we're setting the atmosphere? It's Hekhalot. And you see, Enoch, when he went from earth up into the seventh heaven, according to Jewish Gnosticism or Jewish mysticism, he went from one level, he went from earth, and he had to transcend all those different levels until he finally reached heaven. So again, Metatron is the archangel who plays an important role in Hekhalot mysticism. The name, also spelled Metatron, may derive from the Greek Metatronos, the one enthroned with God, or from the Latin Metator, the title of the officer who went ahead of the Roman army to prepare the camp, hence, more generally, the forerunner. It goes on to say, If the latter is correct, then the term may have first been applied to the biblical angel of the Lord who led Israel through the wilderness, Exodus 23:20, and I can't find that anywhere. 3 Enoch, the third book of Enoch, designates him the lesser Yahweh in contrast to God himself, who is the greater Yahweh. And again, now we see that there's a hierarchy within the Godhead, that's error, who withdraws from the world, leaving Metatron in charge. Metatron is consequently called, listen to this, saints. In this article, it says, Metatron is consequently called the Prince of the World. The Prince of the World. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Doesn't that term, if Metatron, and I'm reading from this article, again, it's called the Dictionary of Judaism in the Biblical Period. This is volume 2, page number 427. Here it says, Metatron is consequently called the Prince of the World. Okay. That struck a chord with me because I remember Jesus saying up something about the Prince of the World. John 12:31. Go with me to the Gospel of John 12:31. John 12:31. This is Jesus speaking. And this is what Jesus says of Satan. It seems to me Satan is Metatron. John 12:31, it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be what? Cast out. Who's the prince of this world? Satan. Satan is the prince of this world. And Jesus says, and now he shall be what? Cast out. In this article on Metatron, it says here, Metatron is consequently called the prince of the world. This dictionary refers to Metatron as the prince of the world, and Jesus in the Gospel of John refers to the prince of this world as Satan, making Satan and Metatron one and the same. The Satan of the Gospel of John is the Metatron of the Kabbalah, for he's called the prince of this world. And this is based on what? Heck, Halat mysticism, or palaces mysticism, or levels mysticism, or shift mysticism. Okay. I have in front of me another encyclopedia. This is the Encyclopedia of the Jewish Religion. Because, again, you can't go to any... I have every Bible dictionary set ever printed. I have them all. Everything ever printed. You can call me and you can say, I need to find out on this term and this volume, and I can go look it up for you. I have everything. So here in this, it's called the Encyclopedia of the Jewish Religion by Dr. R.J.Z. Werblowski and Dr. Jeffrey Whittaker. On page 260 of their combined work, this is their article on Metatron. Metatron, etymology uncertain. Etymology, or in other words, the origin of the word and the development of the proper noun Metatron, uncertain. Name of an angel who, though not mentioned in Scripture, again, let me read that. Name of an angel, and Christ is no angel. So when these people, when these Judaizers come to your church and tell you Metatron and Jesus are one and the same, no, because Metatron is an angel according to Jewish sources. The name of an angel who, though not mentioned in Scripture, and that's why you can't you look at your concordance and try to find Metatron, and you can't find it. Name of an angel, though not mentioned in Scripture, plays a dominant role in both early and latter angelology and mysticism. He is variably identified with the prince of the world. Did you hear that? That's what he's called. He's invariably, so listen, when Jesus says, I saw the prince of this world hit the ground, fall down like lightning. The prince of this world has been judged and shall be cast down. But in this Jewish encyclopedia, Metatron is the prince of this world. We can end it there. In this one. Have another book. And all of these books are important. And we can go on and on and on for hours, but no need to. I'll leave the rest of my quotes and my sources for the debate. But now I'm going to read to you from Angelo S. Rappaport's book, Ancient Israel, Myth and Legends. Ancient Israel, Myth and Legends. Let me read to you. I want to read to you about the story of Metatron. Okay? Let me read this to you. This is gonna be insightful. Okay. It says here on page 42, the story of Metatron. The myths and legends of ancient Jewish angelology are particularly busy with the angel prince who is known as Metatron. Did you listen? The myths and legends. What did Paul tell us about Jewish myths? Don't listen to them. That's what Paul tells us. He said, and listen, I can cite you the scriptures where Paul says don't listen to Jewish myths. If you read, and I'm going to give them to you right now, if you read Titus 1:14, 1 Timothy 1:4, 1 Timothy 4:7, Did you get that? Titus 1:14. 1 Timothy 1:4. 1 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:4. And 2 Peter 1:16. Again, Titus 1:14. Titus 1:14. 1 Timothy 1:4. 1 Timothy 4:7, 2 Timothy 4:4, and 2 Peter 1:16, these two great apostles tell us to stay away from Jewish myths and fables. Again, I'm reading from Angelo S. Rappaport's great work, Ancient Israel's Myths and Legends, on page 42. It says, the myths and legends, that right there tells you, you put Metatron aside. You never talk about Metatron from the pulpit. You never preach on it. You don't discuss it in Sunday school. You just listen. Metatron is a topic you don't discuss with the saints because, as Paul says, don't give heed to Jewish fables because they only lead to confusion and cause people to depart from the truth. The myths and legends of ancient Jewish angelology are particularly busy with the prince angel who is known as Metatron. It has been suggested that the idea of Metatron has been borrowed from the Persian Mithra, and that the very name of this angel, like all the other names of the angels, have come from Persia. Interesting. It seems to me that this is quite a plausible theory, although the majority of authors derive the name Metatron from the Greek. Okay. Let's go to page number 46. Page number 46. In page number 46 of Angelo S. Rappaport's Ancient Israel's Myths and Legends, this is Enoch talking, and Enoch is telling a rabbi how he became Metatron. Okay, so I'm reading now. This is page 46. Enoch told the rabbi as follows. I was in reality Enoch, the son of Jared. And when the generation of the flood had sinned before the Lord and did not walk in the path of righteousness, the Lord took me from the sinful generation to the highest heaven that I might be a witness against that generation. The Eternal, blessed be his name, removed me from earth that I should stand before the throne of glory and the seat of his majesty and before the wheels of his chariot, there to accomplish the requirements of the Most High. Thereupon, my flesh became flames, and my arteries became fire, and my eyeballs became torches of fire, and the light of my eyes the flashing of lightning. My body became burning fire, and my limbs fiery, burning wings, and my hair of my head was a flame. Flames were cleft asunder from my right hand, and wind, a storm, and a tempest blew around me, and the voice of a mighty earthquake was before and behind me. I was carried to heaven in a fiery chariot by horses of fire. Now, listen, saints, this sounds to me like the Enoch of the Kabbalah was high on something. This didn't happen to the Enoch of the Bible. This is somebody claiming to be Enoch is giving this testimony how he went from man to angel and how he just became an entire ball of fire. This makes no sense. Okay, page 47. Now, in case you wanted to know the height of Metatron, he tells us what his height is, okay? And the height of Enoch Metatron is very great. For it would take a man 500 years to walk from his heel to the crown of his head. Did you hear that? In other words, Metatron is a galactic giant. If you and I were to take a walk, the length of Metatron from head to toe, it would take us 500 years. This is Jesus, my brothers and sisters. Was Jesus? Jesus wasn't. Jesus wasn't 500 years long. This is bizarre. It goes on to say, Metatron is further described in Jewish myth as far, again, not the Jewish Bible or the Jewish scriptures. Metatron is further described in Jewish myth as follows. Enoch Metatron has 70 names corresponding to the 70 language of the world and the 70 kings of kings. This is crazy talk. But this is who Metatron is, according to what? According to the Kabbalah. According to the Zohar. According to what? Heck, Halakh mysticism. I'm going to read to you from Robert Graves' book. Robert Graves and Raphael Pastai, they wrote a book called Hebrew Myths, the Book of Genesis. Hebrew Myths, the Book of Genesis. Okay. I'm going to read to you from page 102. This book is published by, let me just give you the publishing house. This is published by Greenwich House Publishers in New York City. The publishing date is 1963. This was published. It was copyrighted in 1963, and this edition is a 1983 edition published by Greenwich House in New York City. Okay, so on page 102, this is what it says about Metatron. The wise and virtuous Enoch also ascended to heaven, where he became God's chief counselor, henceforth known as Metatron. So you see, my brothers and sisters, Enoch or Jesus cannot be Metatron because Enoch is Metatron. Enoch is, according to Jewish myth, okay? Jewish fables. God set his own crown upon Enoch's head and gave him 72 wings, as well as innumerable eyes. His flesh was transformed into flames, his sinews into fire, his bones into ember, his eyes into torches, his hair into rays of light, and he was surrounded by storms, by storm, whirlwind, thunder, and lightning. That's one description of Metatron on page 102. On page 106, it says, Enoch means instructor. Enoch won his eminence reputation from the apocalyptic and once canonical book of Enoch. That's where he gets his eminence from and his reputation, apocalyptic and once canonical book. Well, it was never canonical. Compiled in the first century B.C., it is an ecstatic elaboration of Genesis 5:22. Notice, it is a prophetic or ecstatic elaboration. In other words, they looked at Genesis 5:22 and they wrote three books out of Genesis 5. You must be on drugs. If you can read one biblical passage, Genesis 5:22, and produce three books out of you got to be on some drug. That must have been some marijuana cigarette they were smoking. Again, I didn't write this. I'm just reading what these scholars wrote. It says, it is an ecstatic elaboration, referring to the book of Enoch, of Genesis 5:22, and Enoch walked with God and was no more. Latter Hebrew myth makes him God's recording angel and counselor, also patron to all children who studied the Torah. Metatron, listen to this, saints, listen to this. Metatron is a Hebrew corruption, either of the Greek metadromos, he who pursues with vengeance, or of metaton tonro, nearest to the divine throne. And there you go. What is Metatron? A Hebrew corruption. And now these clowns, as we go out to evangelize Hasidic Jews, these Judaizers want us to tell them that you can accept Jesus because Jesus is your our Jesus is your Metatron. Now, I'm reading from Louis Ginsburg's Legend of the Jews, and this is volume one out of the seven-volume series. This is a 1909 edition of Legends of the Jews. And on page 138, let me read for you, page 138. Page 138, and it goes up to page 139. Before Enoch could be admitted to service near the divine throne, the gates of wisdom were opened unto him, and the gates of understanding and of discernment, of life, peace, and the Shekinah of strength and power, of might, loveliness and grace, of humility and fear of sin. Equipped by God with extraordinary wisdom, sagacity, judgment, knowledge, learning, compassionateness, love, kindness, grace, humility, strength, power, might, splendor, beauty, shapeliness, and all other excellent qualities beyond the endowment of any celestial being, Enoch received besides many thousand blessings from God. And his height and his breadth are equal to the height and the breadth of the world. Are you listening to this, saints? Are you listening to this? This is how big he is. This is how tall he is, and this is how wide he is. Again, his height and his breadth became equal to the height and breadth of the world. The 36 wings were attached to his body, to the right and to the left, which means he's got 72 wings, really. He's got 72 wings. Did you ever see Jesus of Nazareth with 72 wings? Not even in the book of Revelation, he's got 72 wings. The Metatron of the Kabbalah isn't Jesus. Remember, the book of Enoch is apocalyptic in nature, but it's not biblical. It is mystic apocalyptic in nature. Mystical apocalyptic in nature. So Enoch receives beside many thousand blessings from God. His height and his breadth became equal to the height and the breadth of the world. His 36 wings were attached to his body, to the right and to the left, which gives him 72, each as large as the world, and 365, listen to this, Enoch has 365,000 eyes were bestowed upon him, each brilliant as what? The sun. Okay. So let's take Revelation chapter, let's go to Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, Revelation, and that's why I have these books in my library, because when you're doing apologetics, you have to know what you're talking about, and you have to have the sources. So in Revelation chapter 5, this is what it says about Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb, and behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Who's this lamb? Well, John tells us who the lamb is in The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, and again he repeats it in verse 41. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So the Lamb, having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth in all the earth. Well, Metatron has more eyes than the Lamb. Again, let me read to you. This is Lewis Ginsburg on page 139 of Volume 1, Legends to the Jews, 1909 edition. He tells us this is Metatron, okay? He's got 72 wings. He's as large as, and each one of these wings is as large as the world. And he has 365,000 eyes given to him, each one being as brilliant as the sun. He's got more eyes than the Lamb of God. So obviously Metatron and Jesus can't be the same, because Jesus comes up real short when it comes to eyes. Okay. Let's go to page 140. When Enoch was transformed into Metatron, his body was turned into celestial fire. His flesh became flame. His veins fire. His bones glimmering coals. The light of his eyes, heavenly brightness. His eyeballs, torches of fire. His hair, a flaring blaze, all his limbs and organs burning sparks, and his frame a consuming fire. To the right of him sparkled flames of fire. To the left of him burned torches of fire. And on all sides he was girdled by storm and whirlwind, hurricane and thundering. Well, there you go, saints. The biblical description of Jesus, again, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus looks nothing like Metatron. In Revelation 1:12, this is John now. John, we're studying John today. John's gospel and John's apocalypse. We're not going to the apocalyptic book of Enoch. Throw that away. That's no good. Here is John. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice of him that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, like one unto the Son of Man, one like unto Jesus. A normal man. You know, he walked with Jesus. Jesus was normal size. Jesus wasn't 500 years long. No, he was normal. Jesus wasn't no galactic giant. If you shoot a rocket from Earth now, wait 500 years from now, and you'll cover all of Metatron. No. It's nonsense. And I saw one like unto the Son of Man, normal-sized man. What was he? He was clothed with a garment down to his foot. And he girded about his past with a golden girdle. There's no fire mentioned so far. No fire. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Notice, according to the description given to us in the legends, Metatron's hair is on fire. Metatron's hair is on fire. Well, here, Jesus has hair that looks white as, not that it's snowy, but it's white as snow. Nothing about fire here. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Nothing, his eyes, referring to his two eyes. He doesn't have 365,000 eyes. His feet like unto fine brass. We read his feet were like on fire, according to the Kabbalistic literature, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. In his right hand, which the legends tell us, were on fire. In his right hand, this Jesus has seven stars. Out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. My brothers and sisters, the description of our Jesus in Revelation, the Son of Man, doesn't add up with the description of Metatron in the legend books. Jesus and Metatron are not the same, and John proves it. Again, another apostle, another close associate of Christ, another real follower of Jesus, a true Jew, not a wannabe Jew, not a make-believe Jew, not a lying Jew, not a birth certificate non-producing Jew, but a real Jew. This Jew, John, his Jesus looks nothing and sounds nothing like Metatron. And by the way, in tradition, because there's two traditions about Metatron. In one tradition, Metatron is a created angel, which Jesus is not. He's the one who created the angels. Jesus is the one who created the angels. He's not a created angel. So that tradition goes out the window. And number two, in the second tradition, Metatron is Enoch, a man, who then later on got an upgrade and became an angel. That's not Jesus either. So, my brothers and sisters, I think we're pretty much putting the final nails in the coffin. And if anyone comes to you telling you that Jesus is Metatron and that you can use Metatron to evangelize to the Jews, I would tell you, point that person in this direction and tell them to listen to these shows. Tell them to listen. I would love to debate these clowns. And listen, we don't have to go into the Greek and in the Hebrew. There's no need for that. Let's just open up the Jewish encyclopedias. That's all I have to do. I don't even have to go to Bible first. Let's just open up the. I can argue that Jesus is not Metatron based on what you find. And by the way, all of these Jewish encyclopedias that I was reading from, they're all produced by Jewish publishing houses. These aren't Jewish encyclopedias that are published by Gentile publishing houses. No, these are Jewish encyclopedias produced by Jewish publishing houses, and this is their teaching. And it's erroneous. And Jesus and his apostles told us to stay away from this kind of literature, and I would recommend that you do the same. Well, that ends it for today. I'll be back next Thursday, Lord willing, to do another show on Metatron, because we're not done. We have so many arguments left, and we shall continue to put them forth to put the final nails in the Metatron coffin. God bless you, saints.
1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa. The saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again. Yeah. And I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth.
Yeah,
it cast it mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. charity. Turn off TBN. That channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful. They're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked. Ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message. Forever I'll yell. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joel Osteen.
Osteen Chuck.
Let him know.
Preco Dollar is a Osteen Chuck.
12-12.
Benny Hinn is a Osteen Chuck.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a Osteen Chuck.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a
Osteen Chuck.
Let him know.
Paula White is a
Osteen Chuck.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a
Osteen Chuck.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a
Osteen Chuck.
12-12.
Robert Tilton is a
Osteen Chuck.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
Eddie Long is a
Osteen Chuck.
Let him know.
Juanita Bynum is a
Osteen Chuck.
12-12.
Paul Crouch is a
Osteen Chuck.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.